I'm Mike Rowe, and this is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
What's on the other side of the door?
Sewage. Raw sewage.
Let's open the door.
Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Now, get ready to get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs.
We're dumping sugar.
I learned that working in a sugar factory is not so sweet.
How would you like that job for 12 hours? Let me think about it. No.
Then, I'm on board with the firefighters of Fremont, California.
Let's go.
But the firefighters are not on board with me.
So we usually have eight people on it.
Well, where the hell are the other six?
Oh, they're outside having a coffee.
Later, I wrangle a pen full of alligators.
Yes!
Who have a biting sense of humor.
Oh, you got bit?
Oh!
Oh, God.
Sugar cane. They've been growing it down here in White Castle, Louisiana for hundreds of years. Safe to assume, though, that here in the 21st century, getting the cane out of the ground is a little bit easier than it used to be.
Down in Louisiana, there are over 700 farmers who grow sugarcane, but there are only a few places that process the crop. And in this region, there's only one, the Cora, Texas Sugar Factory.
All of the cane from all of the local fields is brought here to the Cora, Texas processing plant. It's a huge facility. And to be perfectly honest, I can't begin to imagine how they get the sugar out of the cane. But I'm fairly certain that has something to do with it.
Inside the sugar factory, I met Charlie Schudmach, the assistant manager and co-owner of the operation. Charlie took me to a big noisy room with some really big machines.
Mike, this is our mill floor. This is Tracy Alvarado. He's our factory manager.
Nice to meet you.
He's going to put you to work.
What am I looking at? Everything's green and orange and yellow and blue. It's like Andy Warhol went to hell and took his paintbrush.
Yeah. Tracy told me these brightly colored machines are the mills that crush the sweet juice out of the cane. It looked like dirty work, but I figured the machines had it covered. I was wrong.
All right.
I got a good dirty job for you.
Tracy's got a job for me. All right.
We're going to do a little mill arcing down there.
Mill arcing?
Mill arcing. That's correct.
All right. Well, what exactly is the job?
First you need to put this harness on. Then we're going to get down in this little seat. You're going to take that welding electrode, and you're going to rough up those teeth on that roller.
All right. So,
all right,
this is the welder.
Right. Grab your rod out of that bucket. Okay.
Sheesh.
All right, well, don't touch any steel while you're
doing it. Oh, no, don't touch any steel. Good to know that.
Put it on a 90 degree.
Oh, like this?
That's it. Go.
I can't see anything out of this.
Well, you're going to have to start arcing until you can see something.
All right, I'm going in.
The teeth on these rollers get worn down with constant grinding. The welder is like the dentist of the sugar mill, adding metal to the teeth so these rollers can chew the cane more effectively. But unlike a dentist, welders in a sugar mill don't work in a clean, air-conditioned space. Down by the rollers, it's like a steam bath, with temperatures climbing to 120 degrees.
It gets a little warm down here, Tracy.
Yeah, that's probably one of the worst jobs we have in the whole factory.
And the professionals who do this job for real, they work in this heat 12 hours a day.
How would you like that job for 12 hours?
Let me think about it. No.
barking. It's a dirty job.
All of the sugarcane here at the plant is constantly being squashed and separated. And this is the first result of that separation. It's called bagasse. Essentially, it's a waste product they use to make particle board and fiber board. But mainly here at the plant, they use it for fuel because making sugar requires a lot of fire. This is basically the generator for the entire plant. All of that bagasse we just saw gets dropped into here and burned. Generates all the energy the plant needs. Unfortunately, it's got to be constantly raked forward into this holding area down here. That person's called a bagasse burner. I swear to God, I'm not making it up. If you thought welding was hot, you ain't seen nothing. Burner. Cool. So the burning bagasse is generating steam, which is called exhaust. The exhaust is powering the mills, which spin the turbine, which create juice. This is juice. Believe it or not, it's on its way to becoming sugar, but right now it's just a lot of sweet, muddy, dirty water.
To clean up this muddy water, calcium carbonate, also called lime, is slowly added. The resulting mixture is called lime juice, and that's pumped into clarifying tanks where the lime causes the mud to settle to the bottom of the tank.
So the first thing you got to do is you got to get all the juice out of the cane, then you got to get the mud out of the juice.
That's correct.
You're basically dealing with dirt all day long.
Pretty much.
I knew I liked you.
That's why they call it dirty job.
These are the clarifiers we were talking about. The lime juice gets pumped into here, and eventually it settles toward the bottom, where the dirt and the muddy part do anyway. These are called manways, and each one represents a different level inside the clarifier. So the most pure lime juice is up toward the top, and the rank, dirty, muddy crap is all the way at the bottom. Here at the plant, seasoned professionals can just glance at the fluid and determine what stage it might be in. Sweet, but not sugar. Just for the record, this is another ideal place to kill yourself in the sugar plant.
Once the sugarcane juice is purified, it's pumped through a complicated system of valves and pipes to another part of the factory. Usually this goes smoothly, but today there was a leak in one of the pipes, and now somebody has to clean up the sticky mess. Who could we get? Coming up.
There it is, Mike.
Making sugar is not only dirty, it's really hot. Then,
you want some of mine?
Things get even hotter when some firefighters turn this lovely little home into a char-broiled mess. Later,
we're doing important work.
Down in the swamp, I help restore the balance of nature by returning alligators to the wild.
Crazy, stupid job this one is.
Tracy, what the hell are we looking at here?
This is a 3,000 cubic foot sugar pan.
Now, what stage are we in the process?
This is toward the end of the process, right before it goes into the sugar drives.
All right. What did we learn?
If you pull that stick out, this is where they grow the grain. If you grab that, pull it real hard.
Inside this tank, the pure cane syrup is heated to 235 degrees. And in about an hour, sugar crystals start to form. A technician then takes a sample of the hot liquid and examines the crystals with a magnifying glass.
And look, they grow these crystals to a certain size before they drop them into the receiver.
Well, somebody just eyeballs this.
That's correct.
Time to go.
They've been doing it for so long, they pretty much know exactly what it has to be. And,
well, how's it look to you? Look like we're ready?
Yes, it does.
Now what do we do?
If you come this way, You're going to see where it's going to discharge into the receiver.
That's going to drop down in this area.
That's correct. It will come out here. You're going to have 3,000 cubic feet of sugar with the molasses still in it in the air. Whenever you're ready, Mauricio. There it is, mate. Whoa. Here it comes.
And just like that, there it is, 3,000 cubic feet of sugar mixed with molasses, the liquid left over from the crystallizing process. Now there's only one thing left to do. The molasses is spun in a huge centrifuge, and the solid crystals are then pulled out of the liquid, giving us raw sugar for your candy bar, your cookie, or your cup of coffee.
Well, all in all, Tracy, an exhausting day, but I learned a lot. Anything else I can do for you before we split?
Actually, Mike, we do have one more job. Pretty dirty job, if you're up to it.
Have I said no to you yet? What in the hell are we looking at here, Tracy?
Well, Mike, this is one of our gear drives for one of our mills.
This thing looks so big, it looks fake.
Well, it's pretty massive, but that's what it takes. It's a big transmission.
Well, what happened? What broke?
Oh, we had a bearing failure, Mike.
A bearing failed.
That's correct.
And as a result, your entire red mill is shut down.
That's correct.
Before the new gear is put into place by the mechanics, Tracy tells me that somebody will need to go into the gearbox and scoop out the old grease.
So basically, all these guys behind the glass there in the nice air-conditioned control room are waiting for me to go in here and get all the grease out.
Looks that way.
Great. Anything for the team.
Now, Mike, you need this scraper?
Yeah, sure. Scrapers are good.
And this shovel?
Yeah, sure. Love the shovel.
And, of course, the bucket to put it in.
Where's the bucket?
Basically, just
scoop up the grease. I think I understand the job.
It's not my way it's done.
Oh, man. That is some bad grease.
Pretty tough stuff, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, it is. Come on, man. There's got to be a better way. Stuck in the bowels of the sugar factory. Without a doubt, the smelliest, most diabolical work I've ever done.
Mike, that'll be clean enough for us to get this gear back in place.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
That's very thoughtful. They put down some plastic. Be a shame to make a mess. Well, the day started off clean enough, hanging out on a sugarcane field. Then things went downhill fast. Now I'm covered in grease and unrefined sugar. All in all, a very weird day and a very dirty job.
Hey, Mike, I'm Holly from Fremont Fire Department, and I'm inviting you to come do our dirty job. And it's dirty.
I accepted Holly's invitation. You know me, always ready to get dirty.
Alco Battalion 3811 and 3812 responding.
Well, this is the star of our story. Three-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath, eat-in kitchen. It's seen better days. Real estate professionals would call it a fixer-upper or maybe a tear-down. Professional firefighters, on the other hand, would call it, kindling?
No, we call it fun.
Call it fun. Fair enough. This is Holly. She knows all about fun. You're the fire princess.
Yes, sir.
And today you've brought me to this lovely part of town for the specific purposes of burning an existing home to the ground.
Yes.
Sort of the opposite of what you guys normally do.
Normally, yes. We don't burn houses down.
All right, but we're going to do it today. Why?
This is a training burn, and we're doing this just to help you get experience on how to put out a fire, how to handle the hose, and how to do salvage and overhaul, and we're going to get you dirty.
How long does it normally take you to train somebody to get to the point where you're comfortable sending them into a burning structure?
It usually takes a professional firefighter about 8 to 10 weeks to train someone well enough to feel confident to go into a burning structure.
You have 8 to 10 minutes.
No problem.
Snapping.
Hey, look at that. Aren't you sweet? Is that why they call you Princess?
No.
Oh.
What am I trying to hit?
Hit the sign. Go ahead and turn it to your right a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit more. Right about there is how we fight fires. Slowly close it. Notice how the pressure starts coming up?
Yeah.
You're basically dropping your gallonage per minute. That's all you're doing with that.
Well, that's very powerful, isn't it?
Let's go squirt some water in there.
Well, we got to start the fire first, right?
Yeah.
How do we do that?
You're going to go see Captain McCormick, and he's going to show you how.
Just for the record, it might look like Holly was hitting me just then, but what she was really doing was turning off my emergency alarm, something that all firefighters have to wear, even rookies like me.
You must be the captain.
Yes, I am.
How are you?
Glad to meet you, Mike.
Pleasure.
Welcome to your first 12 minutes of firefighting.
This is the kitchen.
Yes, it is.
Where was the kitchen, huh?
Everything but the kitchen cabinets was taken out.
We're going to burn this crack house down.
Yes, we are.
That's what we're going to do. Can you explain to me why my alarm constantly goes off?
Well, what happens anytime that you stop moving,
the
alarm will start activating within 15 to 20 seconds.
Okay.
What it does, it indicates to us that there's somebody not moving.
Right.
And then we'll try to find out why that person's not moving.
Right. All right, well, hopefully that's not going to go off when we're in the midst of...
Right.
Okay, because you guys are here, and this is what you call a controlled burn?
Controlled.
Okay, so we're going to come into a 200-square-foot area that is burning at roughly what temperature?
It'll start off about 500 degrees after we light it.
So this is going to get real hot real fast.
It will. Anytime we light a fire inside of a building, we have a charged line in place. We have our other crews in place. Only one person controls the fire, which is myself on this one.
Okay.
When we start a fire, we typically build the fuel load. So we have an accelerant, which is just hay.
Uh-huh.
We stick it inside, hay catches on fire, and it starts to catch the pallets on fire.
Can I light this thing on fire?
Well, you will with me.
Okay.
You're going to light this side, I'm going to light the other side.
Okay, fire in the hole.
I'm good. You good?
Hold on.
For God's sakes, Captain, you're a fireman.
I know. Not supposed to start them.
You want some of mine? That's definitely going.
Come back this way some.
Great.
Let it burn. Because it's going to take off now.
Yeah. Wow, that fast.
That's what happens with fire. This one's going to go. See how it's starting to flash?
Right.
And take off. See how fast this room's changing to where you can't see anything.
Can't see a daggone thing.
And you're only 2 feet away from the door.
Wow. Oh, yeah, it's all over the ceiling there. Man, that happens in seconds. Look at that.
Let's go out.
I'm pretty sure that house is on fire.
House fires can double in size every 2 to 3 minutes. Holly and I had no time to waste.
It's yours, guys. Put it out. Let's go.
Coming up...
Man, that was fast.
I have a burning desire to get dirty.
Oh, that's nice of you.
And later, in a reptile farm, it's a fun little game.
I'm ready.
Called Pass the Alligator.
Yeah! Not ready. Thought I was ready. Wasn't ready.
Let's go!
Ready? Holy yeah! Get behind me!
You can see it.
sure it's still going somewhere.
I can hear it popping, though, so you know it's still going a little bit.
Actually, that's my knee.
All right.
Now what?
Kitchen renovation?
Complete. This old house just got a little older. So what do you do at this point?
Now we get to play.
Turns out that burning down the house is only half the fun. Next, we get to tear the house apart, looking for smoldering embers that could reignite the fire.
Knock that whole ceiling out. You see burn, you keep going until you see unburn.
So when you're in someone's home for real, I mean, you've got to basically keep chipping away at stuff until you find some fresh wood.
Sheetrock is cheap. And this is why we shut the power off before we do anything like this.
Right.
All of this debris needs to go out.
Oh, yeah. This will be a snap. Ugh.
What's this little device you've put together here?
It's a little litter carrier.
Litter carrier, great.
So usually take a scoop shovel, start shoveling everything out of here and carry it out.
It's really hot.
That's good. We'll have to carry that out.
Think that's heavy enough for us?
Take the front two, carry it outside.
Just like this?
Uh-huh. That's how we do it.
Oh.
I'll take it.
Oh, that's...
Isn't that fun?
Ingeniously convenient. We're not going to finish this job today, are we?
No.
And that's okay, isn't it? Because it'll be here tomorrow. I'll send the Mythbusters over. Somebody lend you a hand. Send the American Chopper boys. Typically what happens at this point in the day?
Pretty much. After we're done with the salvage and overhaul, we have to clean all our equipment, clean our hose, re-rack the hose, get a glass of water, clean ourselves up.
Water?
Get ready for another call.
Is there a beer in my future, or maybe a shower?
You want a shower? Be careful what you wish for.
So this is your idea of taking a shower?
Water's fine. You ready?
What happened here? I mean, obviously, we got a broken hydrant, but those are power lines, aren't they?
Yeah.
Is that something to worry about?
Just be careful.
What am I doing?
We're going to open up that cap. We're going to take this wrench right here, and you're going to close it.
What cap?
Can you see the cap underneath where the water's hitting?
No.
You will. Oh, God. I'm gonna block the water so that you don't get killed.
Thanks.
Think I got some.
Good. Keep going, 30 turns. That's all it takes.
Ah.
Ah. Oh, that's cold! Ah, damn.
Manischewitz.
Look at this. A wrench for a winch.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. You can go home now.
I got a million of them.
Unbelievable. How you doing?
I'm a little tired. That was good, clean fun, wasn't it? I'm going to get you dirty enough.
I'm dirty enough.
You're dirty.
I'm dirty on the inside.
True.
Coming up, I go to a farm with a dangerous crop.
I'm not sticking my hand in there, Jerry. That's just nuts.
How big are the teeth on a 5-foot alligator?
Hey, it can hurt you.
No! Oh! Oh!
Welcome to Cut Off Louisiana.
It's called cutoff because, well, pretty much cut off. Not a lot going on down there. In fact, I'm told there's more alligators in cutoff, Louisiana than there are people. A lot more.
Can't go any further south without falling into the Gulf. This is Jerry Savoie. He's the guy who told me that. How are you?
Yep, good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You're an alligator farmer.
Right.
And that's your alligator farm?
Yes, sir.
How many alligators you got over there?
Some point in time, we have as many as 90, 95,000.
How many you got there right now, you reckon?
Right, about 70,000.
70,000 alligators, and they're in these little buildings here?
Yeah. Where? In these buildings, to the side, on this side here.
So you go out there somewhere.
Right here.
Right, and you come back with alligator eggs, and you hatch them.
Incubate them and hatch them.
How big would an alligator get down in these parts?
In Louisiana, you normally... wild alligators get up to 10, 12 feet. Average across the state is 7 feet.
What are we going to be dealing with today?
5 foot.
5 foot?
Right.
How big are the teeth on a 5 foot alligator?
It can hurt you.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Okay.
How can I help you raise some alligators?
Well, today we'll do the first routine when you after you hatch babies. We'll wash them, feed them, defleshing the hides.
Sure, sure.
After you finish making a big mess doing that, we'll get you cleaning that slop up.
Always got to clean up a mess.
Yeah, and salting a few skins, and at the end of the day, we have something special for you.
You got something special?
Oh, yeah, real special.
What, if you don't mind my asking, happened to your face there?
One of the babies jumped up and grabbed me.
Great, great. Alligator farmer, bit by an alligator. In the pen. I'm going in the pen?
Yes, sir, except these are a lot bigger than the ones out.
That's great. Okay, what's the first step? Where do we start?
We're going to wash babies first.
Wash babies. Let's go wash some babies.
Hey, come on.
Yeah, he's bit by an alligator. It's no big deal. He should be okay. Well, I've never smelled really an alligator up close, and I feel like I'm maybe smelling more than one right now.
Quite a few more.
How many are in this little pen here?
This one here, 250.
Little guys, big guys, medium guys?
Little guys.
These are little ones? Let's have a look in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Smells good?
Look at that. Look at all these. Look at that little white guy right in the middle of them.
Yep.
You got a white alligator in there.
He doesn't belong in there. You're going to have to get in there and get him out.
Yeah, right. I'm going in there. I'm administering the morning bath for the alligators here at the Savoie Alligator Farm. Very civilized. Oh, yeah, look how dark that water is going down the drain. That would explain that these are some dirty animals.
Now you need to get in.
You're serious?
Yeah, catch the white one. Somebody made a mistake, put them in the wrong pen.
What is the significance of a white alligator? How does that happen?
What it is, it's a recessive gene that both male and female have to carry. You get a certain percentage of the clutch or group of babies that is albino.
250 alligators. And one of these things is not like the other. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
My God, this stinks. Where the heck is he? Figure I can flush him out with the light.
No, just take your hand, put it on him, and pull him out the way.
I'm not sticking my hand in there, Jerry. That's just nuts. And your face is barely healed. You want me to stick my hand in there?
They won't bite you.
No, it won't bite me.
Look, he's behind you.
There he is.
Albino alligators can't survive in the wild because without camouflaged skin, it's nearly impossible for them to hunt for food.
It's kind of creepy.
Every year we hatch anywhere from 8 to 15.
8 to 15 white ones?
Same nest every year.
I mean, this was job one. Get this guy out of the pen. We're going to feed him. What else am I going to do?
Separate some alligators, sort them out. With 14% of what we hatch, when they reach a maturity level of 48 inches, we return them back to the wild.
You return 14 out of 100 back
to the
wild.
That hatches out, whatever we hatch.
Well, out of 100 eggs that are laid in the wild, how many would sort of grow up on their own naturally?
They figure a rate of anywhere from 5 to 8% would survive on a good year. This year, Hurricane Katrina and Rita, nothing. Nothing would have survived. Everything dead.
You're returning more alligators to the wild than were in the wild before you started.
Right. We're doubling, probably tripling the population.
What about this guy? What about the white
ones? This guy here, he'll be on exhibit at different zoos around the United States and also overseas.
How big will he get, you think?
9 feet.
Really? So this is about the last time I'll be this close to him ever.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is this?
The that's what you call ground nutria.
Nutria is a fancy word for a big rat?
Basically, yes it is.
And this is what we're going to feed your alligators?
We'll grind it up, mix it with a dry supplement, and feed it to the gator.
A lot
of protein.
I think we all know what's about to happen.
Coming up, the gators have me over for dinner. Is the main course.
Hey, safe!
Alligators only grow about 12 inches a year in the wild. But here at the farm, a protein-enriched diet helps them grow to over 4 feet in their first year.
I'm serious about this.
Yeah.
These big alligators have a real narrow, fine line temperament about them. Open up and hook the latch up.
Damn it. What are you doing? You're squatting. He's squatting in the pen with the alligators. I can only hope you've been waiting in there for an hour and a half for that.
No, not very long.
That boy ain't right. No. These are a little bigger.
A little.
You think?
These are a year old. We'll see if we can persuade you to get in there and catch a few.
No, look at their heads. Their heads are big. They got real teeth, for real.
Oh, real teeth.
Yeah.
7 scoops.
One. No, see, they're not even eating.
They want me. They will.
Hey, look at their little mouths. They're not little.
Look like alligators.
Yeah, they look like alligators. Look at them all. Look at their little heads here.
They're hungry.
Yeah, that's great. Get in the pen with the hungry alligator. What eats alligators?
Oh, the alligators.
That's the only predator an alligator has?
Basically, once they reach a maturity of 4 foot, yeah, pretty much.
So that's why we got to get these things separated. They're big enough now, they're looking at each other. You don't feed them, they go at one another.
So that's your job today, to separate them.
Yeah, you keep saying that. I'm curious to see how you're going to get me in one of these pens, actually.
No problem.
Well, this is Paul, and he's got a great job here at the alligator farm. I love your you kind of look like an alligator.
Yeah, you know.
Paul's job is to get the meat off of the skin, essentially, and they just stack up here all day long, and he stands here with this, is this like a pressure hose?
Yeah, like a pressure hose. Uh-huh.
And, we just blast the meat off. How hard can that be, right?
Yeah.
All right, so what do I do? Stretch them out like this?
Yeah, it's turning this way. And then you start from the tail.
Uh-huh.
You know?
And work your way to the head.
Work your way to the head, you know?
All right, well, let's turn the compressor on and have at it.
Okay.
Oh, there it is.
Selling the meat and skin of the alligator is how this farm makes their money. So they take this part of the operation very seriously.
So the trick is to get the meat off without damaging the hide.
Right.
So how many of these do you do in a day?
Well, it depends, like 200-300, you know.
This is a dirty job, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of dirty, but I mean, you gotta do it, you know?
Yeah, I do. What am I looking at right here? That's...
I didn't want to say it, but...
No, Paul's not afraid to say it. This is what the zoologists refer to as the butt. Okay. So basically, Paul, the journey of the hide goes from here, where we blast the meat off it, into this can, and then from this can into another can?
Another can.
Through another window.
Yeah.
All right.
Get ready to salt, you know.
They're going to get salted?
Yeah, they're going to get salted.
I look forward to doing that. All right. Like so. And there's Big Jerry.
You got him done?
You know what? I always get nervous when I see you walking around with a bucket.
This is the fun part.
What do you got?
I need to get as much of this meat cleaned up as I can.
The meat we just blasted off the hide?
Yeah, because we don't want to get any drains plugged up anything around here. And what we'll do is we'll get you to put in the bucket, and we'll put it in the freezer and freeze it and grind it up later and mix it with dry feed and feed it back to the alligator. So we'll...
You really don't waste a thing?
No, not much.
Yeah. Alligator meat. Hey, Mr. Paul, this stinks a little.
Yeah, it stinks, yeah.
Oh. I mean, what am I looking at here? How much meat?
400 to 500.
400 to 500 gator skins.
You get it cleaned up?
I think I got the worst of it. Or the best of it, depending on your point of view.
Yeah, you're right.
Kind of looks like oatmeal. Maybe crab. First time I've carried 25 pounds of alligator meat to an undisclosed location, though. Coming up, I learned that alligators have small brains.
Oh! Oh!
With big teeth.
You got bit?
Oh! Oh! So Jerry is in the process of convincing me right now that it's actually okay to go into this pen to do some kind of crazy work. This is Lance. Apparently, he lives in the pen. Look, don't bullshit me here, really. This is okay?
It'll be fine.
I mean, come on, they're alligators. They're 5 feet long.
Yeah.
Lance doesn't seem to be bothered by them. What do you want us to do? What's the actual job?
The job here today is we have 125 alligators in this pen. Catch each one of them, sex them, and then we're going to determine which one's going to go back to the wild and which ones are not.
And how will that determination be made?
We're going to try to get today a strong random of females.
All right. Now, the reason I'm agreeing to do this is because it's got kind of a happy ending. We're going to turn some alligators loose.
Right.
Right. And that's something you do all the time here, and I'm going to risk my toes and fingers to make that a reality. How's it going to work?
And he's going to throw them to you across the table. You're going to grab them.
Any tips on handling these things? Just grab them?
If you grab them, don't hesitate and do that little stutter step and grab them twice.
Go in with purpose.
Yep. If you let the head go, he'll turn around and bite you.
Oh, you know what's nice? The water's over the boot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you could have told me that, too. That's good. Oh.
Grab him. He's going to bite you. Don't let him go.
I don't want to let him go.
Okay.
What the hell are you doing?
We'll check him, see if he's a male or female. He's a male.
You shoved your thumb up his... What?
Up his rectum.
Would you learn from that?
Learn whether he's a male or female. Male, you can feel his penis. Female, nothing.
No, not so much of a penis.
Right.
You're right. Don't do the stutter thing, right?
Crazy. Crazy, stupid job this one is.
Female.
How many alligator you reckon you've had your fingers in?
Oh, a few thousand.
I'm ready.
Dead?
Not ready. Thought I was ready. Wasn't ready. Not as ready as I had hoped to be. There's an alligator on my foot. Hey, safe.
If you give him time to think about it, he's going to bite you.
He just got done telling me his brain was the size of a walnut. How much thinking can he do?
Go!
Enough to almost bite me.
I thought the ostrich guys were sick in the head. You got major issues. We're setting alligators free, basically. We're going to return them to the wild. We're doing important work. Oh, that's big.
Yes!
Every logical thing, every synapse in my brain that's still working is saying don't grab the alligator.
They got time to react, they're gonna bite you.
Yeah. Powerful son
of a gun.
Yeah, they're strong.
No! Look, oh. Let him go, you're gonna get me bit.
Sorry about that.
Damn it.
See, that's how I want to grab him on the top like that, but I'm always...
Sex him up.
Gosh, I'd love to finish my thought, but I have to push my finger inside the alligator's bottom.
There you go.
Oh, that's a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh! Oh! Dude.
You got bit?
Mm-hmm.
Bad? Ah. Oh, man, come on, get out of here. You got to get that thing fixed.
That's all right.
The hell are you talking about?
We get bit all the time.
That happens in the movies, dude. That doesn't happen. You just got half your arm bitten off.
That'll be all right.
All right. Let's just bring me another alligator. I'll shove my finger up its ass and I'll go home. Hey, safe.
God.
One just shot out from under my feet.
He won't bite you. Ah.
Boy, girl?
Boy.
Oh, it's bound to be one or the other, huh? Whoa. Oh,
funny guy.
Hey. I've only got the two hands, so I'm not going to be able to violate this one.
Boy.
Boy.
So long, boy. You're going home to freedom.
Well, Lance and alligators have been very close now for a long time. There, he took one in the side, and today, here, look at this. Man, are you okay?
Yep.
No, you're not. Look at that. You got bit. See, I told you. I was telling Cherry, they bite. He didn't believe me. But you believe me, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not the first time you've been bit. Are you going to be okay? I mean, what's going to happen
to this? Just clean a little peroxide.
What's it going to look like tomorrow?
Not too bad.
Bull maybe crap, it's going to be this big, isn't it? Yeah.
That's about all.
Alligator ranchers, alligator farmers, what they do is they understate everything. I dodged a bullet today. So if you're home watching and thinking about getting into a pen with alligators because somebody named Jerry tells you it's a good idea, don't do it.
After a day of wrangling gators down on the farm, it was time for a blast on the bayou.
Well, it's official. The U.S. military, along with the entire country, is now our research department. If you have a dirty job or know of somebody who does, drop us a line, discovery.com/dirty jobs. If it's dirty, or at least really cool, I'll come out and do it. Thanks.
2 minute warning.
That's it.
I'm covered with grease at the moment and walking down a giant mountain of unrefined sugar. I think I have a lot of sugar in my ear. Is this dirty enough for you?
Yeah, I think so.
I just myself a little bit there. That was dirty. That was dirty.
Dirty jobs. Tuesdays at 9.